Blog Talk Radio.
Not be here.
I'm totally unprepared, so I must compose as I sing. Oh, oh lambent flame, oh, oh false divine, oh omnivorous power, hail. None is the swifter to bring destruction. Yet carefree as a child, thou with wild breezes playing. The old tribe shall be no more because of thee. Thou harvester that strips the soil for men to sow new crops. Oh, O lambent plains. Oh, O force divine. O omnivorous power.
You must be content with that. My throat.
Now it said that Nero was probably the first urban renewal architect. He supposedly set Rome on fire because he wanted to reconstruct Rome in his architectural artistic image. He considered himself an artist, and it was awful scene. And of course, he was one of those crazy Roman emperors who murdered his wife, his mother, Agrippina, and also was involved in incest. They were really crazy, these emperors. It's what happens when you have this kind of family relationship. Great English, another Englishman born on the day, Kingsley Amos. You remember Breakfast at Tiffany's? The soundtrack was written by Henry Mancini, who was born in Cleveland. And, of course, the first German to be elected pope, and I think in several hundred years, Joseph Ratzinger. There's a photo of him. He served, like a lot of young Germans at the time, served at some capacity in the Nazi army. For instance, one of the recent chancellors of Germany, Helmut Schmidt, was in the German army. Great conductor, Wolfgang Sawallisch, was in the German army. He was also a great conductor and a pianist. He was a shortwave or a radio operator. Helmut Schmidt is interesting. He was adopted, and there's a recording of him with he plays piano in a four-part piano piece by Johannes, and that's unusual for a world leader. Of course, Nixon played the piano. Harry Truman played the piano. I don't think Mr. O doesn't play any politics. And, of course, you don't hear any of the world leaders today doing anything besides playing politics. Among the other birthdays today, Edie Adams, who was married to Ernie Kovacs, comedian. Herbie Mann, great jazz musician. Dusty Springfield, that was her stage name, born in England. Among the deaths today, Francisco Goya, The Naked Maha was one of his famous paintings, Spanish painting. And also he painted the caricatures of the tortures and the dismemberments of Spanish patriots during the Napoleonic Wars. On this day, Babe Ruth died. One of the greatest baseball players of all time. He was born an orphan, Roman Catholic. He also was, I just learned it, other baseball player on the Yankees did not get along, Lou Gehrig. Also on this day, we have St. Bernadette, I forgot her last name. She was the one young girl who witnessed the miracle of Lourdes, which is in France, and where people go, whether they're Catholic, go who have infirmities or diseases, they go to bathe in the water or to have the water sprinkled over them, hoping to be cured, where medical science has failed. The woman who wrote Giant, Edna Ferber, died on this day. General Lucius Clay, he's the guy that saved, he was the high commissioner, commanding general in Germany, or West Germany, after World War II. And when the Russians, Berlin is in the eastern zone, which was a deal made with the Russians, that they got control of eastern Germany, which contained Berlin. It's not that Germany's been reunited today. And Stalin decided on a power play to starve out Berlin and take it over. And General Lucius Clay and the Allies and Harry Truman, President Truman, came up with this Berlin airlift, and here is General Lucian Clay. This is a historical audio clip from our archives.
The Soviet planners failed to recognize our strength in the air. They did not understand our determination to fulfill our obligations to the people under our charge. They did not reckon with the will of several million Germans in Berlin who want no part of the type and kind of government which is being imposed upon them.
It was a great success, and Stalin and his goons gave up, and Berlin was saved and kept as this kind of a sore thumb in Eastern Germany. And of course, today, Germany is reunited, and you know, as they always say, blood is German. Among the other deaths today, the great British director who did Lawrence of Arabia, many great films, David Lean, and also black author Ralph Ellison died on this day. We are hearing about, for the first time in a long overdue, is about corruption and political corruption in San Francisco and in Sacramento, the California legislature, which is part of this, of course, the Democratic Party, which we have essentially California. The Republicans have fallen down job. Once, turn of the century, they were, quote, the real progressives, Hiram Johnson. Most people were the Republicans dominated the politics of California. Today, the left-wing Democrats, they call themselves progressives, but they're not the same progressives that Hiram Johnson, Fiorello LaGuardia, those people at the turn of the century who believed in limited government, the citizen who wasn't wealthy, like Rockefellers, Henry Clay Frick, and those people. And they thought they were for more republic power, for raising up for control of immigration. Ironically, they were for keeping Indians on the reservation, Oriental exclusion, limiting Chinese primarily who were wanted to immigrate in the United States. The Chinese who came to the United States were here to work on the railroads, and they were not allowed to bring their women over. And, of course, the Chinese were abused. They had pigtails, and there were riots. And pigtails were cut off. There were riots in the Chinese neighborhoods. White trash attacked them. The Chinese were discriminated against. And now, in San Francisco and in Oakland, and going in California, the Chinese are on an ascendancy. And in effect, they're getting even. And you know, it's a 5,000-year cultural history of China. People say call them the Jews of the Orient, but they've been around before the Jews. And it's a great culture, too. And we're seeing it with this former child psychologist, Leland Yee, who was on the San Francisco School Board and also on the San Francisco County Council. We call them county supervisors. And he has been indicted by the federal Department of Justice on many charges of political corruption. And what's unusual about this compared to corruption in, say, Cook County, Tammany Hall, Passaic, New Jersey, in Boston, is that the school district in San Francisco is involved. And this is what I call the restless story, because I was in the school district from 1981. Lecture and radio at KLW in 1990 approximately, and of course I continued to follow ethics of these school district politicians, where they allowed lesbians to come into the schools, lesbian rape, the two gym teachers, one of the girls showers, just did not want to take showers because they were afraid of being sexually assaulted. There was administrators who were extorting political campaign contributions from teachers and administrators, primarily administrators. There were architects who real estate manipulations were getting condos on former school district land. We'll bring it up and we can document it. We have the real estate documents. There was a notorious drug dealer, the first major drug dealer, who was a San Francisco school board member who didn't even live in San Francisco County. She lived in Alameda County, the notorious Rosario Anaya. That's all documented. She's from Cochabamba in Bolivia, which is Cochabamba is to Bolivia, but Medellin is to Colombia. And, of course, she's involved in vote fraud. She's involved in HUD fraud, redevelopment fraud. Walking RICO, as somebody called her. Very arrogant, made anti-Semitic references to Ted Samuel and the people that supported him when he was illegally fired and trumped up charges in San Francisco School District. We're going to be putting up the documents and the letters we had from the U.S. Justice Department, U.S. Attorney, going back over 20 years, the real estate documentation, political contribution, real estate racketeering on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. And I think this is really appropriate because we're still going through this today. And I played this before, but I think Will Rogers' media clip, What's Wrong with the U.S.? I have to play it again.
Dancing at a Dreisen Weber's restaurant in New York. And while the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange age stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and it says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Katie and Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits. And Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago. And the great Caruso recorded it. Was ending, John Wanamaker, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wire. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz, radio.
Now, in this week in April 1950, Harry Truman, General MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur, the great general, overstepped the bounds. Wanted to carry the Korean conflict, the Korean police action, which the American provided the bulk of the soldiers and military aid, I wanted to carry the war across the Yalu River into China. And Harry Truman had just gone through dropping two A-bombs or ordering the bombing of Japan to end World War II. He didn't want a third war, especially with a million Chinese soldiers. So he fired MacArthur. They had a meeting on Wake Island, and Truman was really pissed off at MacArthur, who kept him waiting. You don't do that to the president. But anyway, after MacArthur kept sniping away at Harry Truman and making comments, Truman characteristically said enough and fired him. And MacArthur came back through San Francisco and had a parade, and he went on to Washington, and he addressed the U.S. Congress. I think this is, he really said some things that were important. He realized that generals, military personnel, are subject to the Constitution, and they are subordinate to the Commander-in-Chief, who is the President of the United States, and numero uno.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, and distinguished members of the Congress, I stand on this rostrum with a sense of deep humility and great pride. Humility in the wake of those great American architects of our history who have stood here before me. Pride in the reflection that this forum of legislative debate represents human liberty in the purest form yet devised. Here are centered the hopes and aspirations and faith of the entire human race. I do not stand here as advocate for any partisan cause, for the issues are fundamental and reach quite beyond the realm of partisan consideration. They must be resolved on the highest plane of national interest if our course is to prove sound and our future protected. I trust, therefore, that you will do me the justice of receiving that which I have to say as solely expressing the considered viewpoint of a fellow American. I address you with neither rancor nor bitterness. In the fading twilight of life, with one purpose in mind, to serve my country. The issues are global and so interlocked that to consider the problems of one sector oblivious to those of another is but to court disaster for the whole. While Asia is commonly referred to as the gateway to Europe, it is no less true that Europe is the gateway to Asia. And the broad influence of the one cannot fail to have its impact upon the other. There are those who claim our strength is inadequate to protect on both fronts, that we cannot divide our effort. I can think of no greater expression of defeatism. If a potential enemy can divide his strength on two fronts, it is for us to counter his effort. The communist threat is a global one. Its successful advance in one sector threatens the destruction of every other sector. You cannot appease or otherwise surrender to communism in Asia without simultaneously undermining our efforts to halt its advance in Europe. Beyond pointing out these general truisms, I shall confine my discussion to the general areas of Asia. Before one may objectively assess the situation now existing there, he must comprehend something of Asia's past and the revolutionary changes which have marked her course up to the present. Long exploited by the so-called colonial powers, with little opportunity to achieve any degree of social justice, individual dignity, or a higher standard of life, such as guided our own noble administration of the Philippines, the peoples of Asia found their opportunity in the war just past to throw off the shackles of colonialism and now see the dawn of new opportunity, a heretofore unfelt dignity, and the self-respect of political freedom. Mustering half of the Earth's population and 60% of its natural resources, these peoples are rapidly consolidating a new force, both moral and material, with which to raise the living standard and erect adaptations of the design of modern progress to their own distinct cultural environments. Whether one adheres to the concept of colonization or not, this is the direction of Asian progress, and it may not be stopped.
Well, MacArthur, there were some Republicans and others who thought MacArthur would run for president, but he didn't. He retired to New York and lived in the Waldorf Astoria. He was the honorary chairman of Bolivar, as was another general, Omar Bradley. And MacArthur quietly died. He had a son, and that was a piano player. Keeps a little profile what he did. Anyway, Harry Truman was... So we'll end with our usual back Friday. And, we're feeling better, and we will have more on public corruption, the Public Corruption Watch. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS, with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Johnny, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a kick. Ready?
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play.
Fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Paul Rizzolo will be back Friday at probably at 3:30, and we're recovering. And we'll go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSCERIT, and also that we are now at AmicusVeritas.net, AMICUSVERITAS.net. Stay safe. Have a rest of the week. Hopefully it'll be safe. Some warm weather. Good night.